neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being April 12th, 2005, show number 115, y'all. And we're recording right now at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman. Clear your throat, Thomas. Clear your throat. Don Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Tom. Hey, man, you brought us some good weather today, didn't you?
Certainly good to have you with us today. And, yes, good weather is everywhere, I'm telling you. Don Patterson?
Springtime has come to the Piney Woods.
My goodness
but
gracious.
But it was... preceded by the worst damn rainstorms I've ever seen.
Yeah. Wasn't that wild the other night?
I could not believe it. Black and pitch at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Isn't that unreal?
Emmy was on the road by then, and so she called, and I looked KTRE's radar, and she was kind of threading the needle going through these storms, but she called and she said, recheck the radar because it suddenly turned really black.
I bet it did.
My name's Tom Houston, the host for the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, the creator, producer, Phil Parr.
Luann was going to Livingston, and I told her, baby, the weather's going to be bad. Call them, tell them you're sick. Call them, tell them you can't come because it's bad. And, you know, I got a weather alert radio, and it kept going off. And finally, you know, she left, and 5 minutes later it went off. The one in the bedroom went off, which is the one in the, let's see, no, the one in the, anyway, I turned it on, and there was a storm alert for Polk County. Storm, thunderstorm with hail. Size of basketballs and, you know, huge hail at Onalaska coming up this way. So I called her and said, baby, you need to turn around. No kid is worth, you know, Well, sure enough, she got just the other side of Die Ball in a car hydroplaned and came across four lanes of traffic, ended up in the ditch.
Her car?
No, not her car.
Oh, a car.
A car. And she turned around and came home.
Man.
She turned around and came home. You know, because it was bad news. Wasn't
it? I'll tell you, I don't know if, you know, you hear global warming and all this, but I'll tell you, the last two rainstorms that we have had... In my 62 years, I'm telling you, for a given period of time, and each one of it's like the most water that I've ever seen coming down at one time. And, I mean, you know, it goes away just as quick as it comes, but it's just, you could see how if you were in a car, more like my garbage can was floating down the road and it was full.
You know,
let
intense,
me put it to
man.
You that way.
But, you know, every year we have at least one storm. Because remember you were on Norris Street and you looked out and said, this ain't no normal East Texas thunderstorm. And it was a bad news. We have at least one of these. We had a couple of them this year.
Well, the July that I moved up here, then the next February was the worst.
Yeah.
And that's Emmy's mom was still alive, and she was on life support machine, and they lost power and all of that kind of stuff. That February, there were trees down everywhere in Lufkin. It was one of the...
Yeah.
Like window screens. I just put... I mean, you don't think about aluminum window screens leaving... The house.
And yours did.
I had three of them that just were, I mean, down at the neighbors, you know.
Well, remember when you came over and the big tree right at where the spur goes into the driveway down there was down?
Yeah.
Big taproot sticking up. It's just, you know, I mean, big tree just, those big old pine trees ain't very far in the ground. They aren't. Anyway, we've had our share of rain in the pines. I know you folks in Africa or Zimbabwe or New Zealand are happy. To hear about rain in Lufkin, Texas, but it's been, we've just had more than our share of rain. We're 3 or 4 inches ahead, but we were 30 inches last year.
Oh, yeah.
So we've had a whole lots of rain. Other than that, it's been, so we've had some pretty days.
Oh, you better believe it.
Oh, yeah.
But these are beautiful days, long kind of days. Doesn't really get dark till about, good dark till about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we're on daylight savings coming in. And so, yeah, it's great. It's springtime, and like I've planted three new pear trees. And
have you?
Patching the St. Augustine grass that I put down last year
that the dogs
have torn up. So I have three loads of dirt. But right before the rainstorm, I got lucky. I've been waiting 2 months for the guy to get his truck in there, so he did. And now I have a pallet of grass coming on Friday to do the patching. And so got my trees planted and mowed. The whole place is mowed. And so we're moving right along.
Well, I got George this year. George is going to take care of the yard this year. So I got rid of my yard guys. Those guys, they'd come, it'd be about four of them. They wouldn't stay but about 20 minutes, but they did it and did it well. You know.
They were quick, weren't they?
Oh, they were quick, but they, you know.
How many guys at one time were working?
Four guys. And they charged me $40 to do it, and you think they stayed 20 minutes? What the hell did they do? Well, you know, Lou Anne come home, boy, the yard looks great, and it did. I was going to talk about my pressure washer, but we couldn't start it. I'm still going to talk about it.
I'm wondering if that's a reflection on the pressure washer or the blind handyman.
We're going to talk about it after the second break. We're going to talk about my new staple gun and my new pressure washer into my roof.
And your roof job. Yeah,
the roof job is fixed, and it did not. I swear, he finished it. Yeah, we told him last week that they put the. We talked to Dale about it. We had Dale on Cooking in the Dark. He's a roofer guy. We talked to Dale about it, and he said that they were wrong. They put the shingles under the flashing. So George and I, we knew that. I knew that. So George went up Sunday and changed it. And I mean, he hadn't been through 15 minutes since George Franklin rain.
Yeah. Y'all did just at the right time?
I don't think it would have leaked because it was silicone caulked real good. I don't think it would have leaked, but it... But, you know, Dale said that's where you get leaks is around chimneys and valleys.
Yep.
Remember that chimney leak you had on Allendale? Patterson?
I never solved that. But, see, now that wasn't the roof. That was the chimney itself. In other words, no matter what I tried to do.
Because you did everything, remember?
I put the new chimney cap on. I mean, we're not talking a little round stovepipe type cap. We're talking about a 2 foot by 2 foot. I made it. You know, it looked like a little roof, a little hip roof for...
Looked like a cupola.
But it was the design. What was happening is that chimney went straight up for a while, but then as it got closer to the ground, it expanded outwards on each side, kind of a half a brick at a time. So that left you a ledge that the water could accumulate on, and mortar is a porous thing. Water can eventually leak through brick mortar.
I never would have known that.
But the reason why it doesn't affect houses too much is because it's vertical.
Yeah.
You know, but if you have a ledge, if you keep getting an accumulation of water, you can eventually start, you know, as the mortar erodes and everything, you can start getting leak. And so that's where it was coming from. I never solved that problem. The new owner.
You can worry about that.
Can worry about that.
All right, Tommy has email, right?
Okay, yes, sir. I have some list mail here. It says, hello all, just joined this list. Hoping to share some ideas and learn a thing or few. Uh-huh. I'm Dan Kelly from Ohio. When I'm not teaching folks how to use JAWS or some other piece of adapted technology, I'm running, biking, hiking, camping, fishing, or fixing up my house. Currently redoing my kitchen. The hardest thing I find when working with wood is getting accurate measurements. I've got one of those talking tape measures from Independent Living Aids or somewhere like that, and a 25-foot braille tape measure that has a 6-inch extension. I'm not impressed with either one. Now, I figure there has to be a better, easier way. So open to suggestions on how others do their measuring. Now, this summer, I want to try to build some things like birdhouses and some planter boxes. Well, that's all for now, and this comes from Dan.
Well, I don't know we've talked endlessly about this, and measuring is important. Yes, it is important to know that the distance is 8 inches, 8 3/8 inches, 3/16 inches. But, you know, your talking tape will measure that. I don't understand what he's asking. Do you?
I would just suggest this. You know, I don't know. He's talking about building birdhouses. I mean, he says that at the end. He's talking about remodeling his kitchen. Now, you know, birdhouses measurements could not be too critical. I mean,
birds don't really care.
Yeah, but in your kitchen it does. But I'll tell you, I'm partially sighted. I didn't know the extent of his vision, if any. But I am a great believer in jigs. I mean, I know you can have tape measures, and then they can do it. But if you're going to cut a lot of the same stuff, if you have to get someone, i.e. Robert Todd or something, to cut it perfectly for you that time, you know, so on this birdhouse, if you're going to build them the same dimension, get you a miter saw or something, and then put you an end plate on the left side.
Or take a C-clamp and clamp a board on the left side. Decide how big you want this side and cut 20 of them.
And then you can cut 20 of them, yeah. Or, like I say, on this program a couple of times, I've mentioned several skill saw guides that are just accurate as all get out.
Yeah.
And you know, like I say, that's...
Surely he's not going to try to build a set of cabinets.
Well, there again, though, if you had table saw and router and all that set up in given positions, it's going to be accurate as...
I think, once you build a base, you build, put the sides on, trying to build raised panel doors, I don't know what to, you know, but you know, man, you can go to Lowe's and buy a beautiful set of cabinets.
I think the wire is a good...
it is.
At your strand of wire and cutting it to the length you need is a real good measuring idea.
I did that for years. I measured with wire. We've said several times, behind the turntable where you sit in the disc jockey room, where you used to do radio from, are probably six different little rolls of wire that I used to measure with, and it was stiff wire, so I'd get the measurement and I'd bend it in a crook so it would stay that way and then, you know, use that as a measure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
So, good luck, Dan.
Well, you could big boy. A half-inch PVC pipe is cheap. You could get a six-foot joint and put a hole through it where you could do a wing nut. I mean, there's just several ways to make some jigs that are accurate. I mean, if you want 6 feet, 8 feet, 7 feet. Now, if you want for the critical measurements, I don't know.
Okay, here's one from Bryce. No. Dan, we hope we helped you out a little bit.
I doubt if we taught you anything, Dan. In fact, I'd find another handyman show if I were you.
Bryce says, last night I went to Sears and purchased a 10x9 metal storage shed.
Oh, boy.
I plan
a divorce.
You're going to put that together, are you, Bryce? Fool?
I plan to pour a concrete slab for this shed to sit it on and anchor it down. Now, question. I need to keep it dry in this shed.
All right.
Once the slab is down, my next step would be to set up the foundation kit and anchor it to the slab once it's squared.
Yep.
This is where I need some advice. Would you put some kind of gasket between the foundation and the slab before anchoring it down, or after the shed has been fully erected, just put some outdoor caulking on the base of the shed around the perimeter? Thanks for any advice you can forward my way. By the way, the sale for this shed ends today. It cost me out the door $236.
You're going to wish you hadn't done that, big boy.
I figure it will cost me another $75 or so for the forms and concrete, Bryce.
Good luck, Bryce.
Major project.
It's going to be a major project. Putting it together is going to be a major project. You can't do that without some sighted help because you can't read the instructions. And you can't do it without reading the instructions.
Does it say there, Thomas, how big this building is?
Yes, 10x9.
Okay, see, that problem. There's a problem. All right. First of all, the concrete. I would agree with him on the, you know, his calculations forms. I mean, if he's going to mix the concrete himself, then that's a day you got a big job ahead of you. Out here, you can't get you can get as little as 2.5 yards delivered to you. 1 yard of concrete in a 4-inch slab will do a 9x9. So you're going to need a little more than a yard. A lot of these contractors around here, you know they have to order the 2.5 yards, but they just offset it in their cost. I mean, it's about $35 a yard here if you get the truck. So if you buy $85 worth, if you dump half of it out,
Build the forms and build you a little porch on it or something. You don't have to.
Also, you would have to decide if you're going to pour your slab, is it going to sit exactly on the edges? Then, yeah, I would put some kind of caulking, or I may even consider, in my opinion, I would consider putting down a treated 2x4 and then putting my building on top of that 2x4.
In other words, use the plate.
I would install a 2x4 plate, treated 2x4.
So go around with plates.
And then I would fasten the building.
Set the building on top of that.
Yeah.
That only makes sense. Fasten the plate down some way or another, but you could put some caulking under that plate that's going to keep it pretty dry. I bet they make some rubber stuff that you can put under there.
Well, you know, your big thing is going to be keeping that building coming from the factory. That metal building is going to be square. And in a lot of, you know, in carpentry, in the real world, carpentry is not always perfectly square. So when you pour your slab and then pour your... what you don't want is concrete slab sticking out past your building so much that the water could get on that and then run back into the building.
Back into the building.
Yeah.
Tom, you had an experience with a floor kit, I think, didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't you just abandon your floor kit, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, sir, Rebob.
And built you a wooden floor?
Uh-huh. And then go from there. That's yeah, the that best way to do it.
You know, I hadn't thought about that because you sure as hell don't want concrete sticking out all around your building because water will collect there, and then you will have water in the building, won't you?
You
I never had thought
so.
About that. Hmm. So that slab needs to be pretty much exactly the same size the building's going to be.
Okay.
You know,
really
and
a lot of caulk around it between it and the concrete.
Are you on your mic, Dunn? I'm having trouble.
Yeah, I am. I'm not.
You don't like that thing, do you?
It's yeah. I'm up close. I don't know what the deal is.
Okay, I hear you better now.
Yeah,
it's much better now.
Well,
okay.
I just like to say, I hope this fella has a secure marriage. The slab won't be as near a bigger problem as the putting the building together.
Yeah, because I might not pour a slab. I might build a wooden floor if I treated. That'd be cheaper. It'd be easier. Then you could have it exactly the size of the building. If you bought some treated 2x4s and would you have to buy marine plywood? What did you use for yours, Houston? Just plain old plywood?
I think so, yes, sir.
Well, Don, did you not build a floor in yours on a...
Yeah, I built a floor also using treated 2x and plywood. A
lot easier than messing with concrete.
Messing with concrete.
I mean,
and
yeah.
it's not going to... If you do that and treat it right, it's not going to leak. Of course, the concrete's going to be there, but Patterson said, if you got some excess concrete, then you're going to get water on it, it's going to run back in your... What's he going to put in there? His golden bullion?
I don't know.
You got to keep it dry. Well, good luck. Don't call us. Where does he live? Maybe we.
Yeah, it'll be a major project.
I have no idea.
Boy, putting those buildings together. First one I did when I owned the radio station in Dieball, running the radio station in Dieball. It took me weeks to do it. Of course, my first wife and I, we never got along at all, so it didn't make any difference to my marriage. We're going to lose that anyway. But, it was just terrible because reading the instructions now, that's just a part, you know, it's just because you can't do it without sighted help. You got to read the instructions to do it. There's so many little
pages of instructions.
Many little nuts and washers and stuff. It's just, you. Good luck, sir. Talk to you later. Call us when you get it done a couple years from now.
We recommend a good lawyer.
I do. Yeah.
Well, who's our guest, Don Jobo?
Our guest today will be known to folks that read the handyman list. Sai, the ancient Oki, will be up today.
Oki.
Yeah.
We'll plug it in. We'll be back with the ancient Oki, who's going to be an interesting guest. Sounds like a nice fellow. In just a minute, more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Like Me list.
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done in even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Hello there. Welcome back to, I'm not on my mic either. Welcome back to The Blind Handyman Show. Our guest is a gentleman who calls himself, is it the Ancient Oki? Is that what you call it?
It is, in fact.
It is the Ancient Oki. Well, we're glad to have you, sir. What part of Oklahoma are you in?
I live in the northeastern part, a little bitty town named Tulsa.
Little bitty town named Tulsa. Tom, take the pan pot on the phone and put it in the middle.
Very good on Tulsa.
You got it.
Tulsa, living on Tulsa time, are you, sir?
Yep. Matter of fact, I am.
Living on Tulsa time. Well, I've been there once or twice. In fact, the blind school there in Oklahoma is in Muskogee, isn't it?
Yes, it's about 40 miles from Tulsa.
We went up and did a music festival in the winter in February. It gets very cold in Oklahoma, folks. That
well, the only thing between you and the North Pole is about two strands of barbed wire and one of them down.
That is what I'd heard. Well, we have enjoyed your posts and comments on our blind handyman list. Are you still employed? Are you retired, or what's the deal?
I retired about 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago. What did you do when you worked?
Well, my last round for about 25 years was working with mainframe computers.
Mainframes, back during the days of mainframes.
The dinosaurs, yes.
Dinosaurs. Did you lost your sight later in life, or were you born this way?
I had poor sight for a long time.
Yeah.
I lost all of my sight in 1988.
How did you, I guess you got into computers before that, earlier?
Yes, I did. I got into computers in 1967.
Did you ever do radio?
No. Upon a time, a long time ago, when I was just out of high school, somebody tried to get me to do some radio, and I did a little.
I understand why. You certainly have.
It was yelling and hollering and rush radio back then.
You have a deep, nice, resonant voice for
really
radio, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that was back when everybody screamed radio, hey! You know, that kind of radio, right?
Yeah. And you cut in the next song about halfway through the one that was currently playing.
That's right. And they look for short records about 2.5 minutes, and everybody, we went through all that. I lived through all that. Well, what sort of things do you do now? Do you do woodwork? You have a wood shop or what?
No, I don't. I don't have a wood shop right now. In fact, I just sent my table saw away with my son-in-law last week.
Uh-huh. You got rid of that table saw?
Yeah, I did, because I live in a mobile home now.
Oh, yeah?
And I thought perhaps I'd set up a shop, but, you know, I can see it's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen. There's no room.
It's not going to happen.
You just don't have the energy or don't have a...
Out of the woodshop biz.
Out of the woodshop
biz.
Yeah,
pretty much. I've got a myriad of little bitty hand tool type things. I've got one of these, what do they call them, roto saws? Spiral saw, there you go.
Spiral saw. Now, how does... Yeah. I don't have one of those. What is it?
It looks a great deal like a great big Dremel toy.
Mm-hmm.
And... Looks kind of like a drill bit in the end of it.
Really?
I like it. It's pretty handy. It's not real good for heavy wood, like anything past about 2 inches. But
yeah,
smaller than that, pretty good. And you're not as apt to get cut on it as you are in a circular saw.
And what projects do you do with this saw?
Whatever Mama tells me to do.
I know that.
Yes, ma'am.
Wasn't much question about that. We've all got wives
yes, we do.
That kind of tell us what to do, but What kind of things do you like to do? What will you do for pleasure?
Yeah.
I say, what would you do for pleasure
well,
that Mama didn't take?
Oh,
you just, that was a, that pause was a thought process, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I'm sorry.
I used to like to make wooden toys.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of enjoyed that.
And you cut those out with a jigsaw or with a what kind of saw?
Back then, I mostly used my table saw.
Really?
That's a handy thing to have.
Oh, yeah. But it's gone now.
No, yeah, it's gone now. So now I'll have to use my little roto saw.
I've never seen a roto saw. Who makes that?
The one I've got, the Black & Decker.
Really?
You know, we talked to a guest here. God, it's been a long time back now that made, remember Phil talking about toys made, some kind of toy box and a train and...
Who was that?
Yeah. Several different things.
That we talked to about that. The
guy worked on. I know Dale was one of them that has made some things in the past like that, but I'm not sure who the guest is.
You talking about our cooking guy, Dale?
Yeah, Cooking in the Dark, Dale Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Well, now that you don't have a wood shop, what are you going to do for fun, Zach?
Well, we got to make a shelf here, and could we have a shelf over yonder? And but when you get through there, we need to add on to the deck.
That sort of stuff. So you do have
that sort of stuff, you know?
Did you build the deck?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
Is that right? That's something I've never done.
I wonder if we could. Yeah, I was going to get him to elaborate a little bit on his spiral saw. You said something about a Dremel tool. So how much bigger is your spiral saw than a? I mean, are there special part? You know, like bits and everything that you buy specifically for that?
Yes, sir. Yes, there is. The thing is probably about 6 inches tall, and I think about must be about 3 inches. In diameter. It's round.
So it would be a bigger Dremel. I mean, a bigger...
That's what I say. It reminds me of either that or a very small router.
Well, I wonder, you know, and I wasn't here right at the introduction. Do you have any vision now at all?
No, sir, I don't.
I wonder, because I have a Dremel tool, and I'm partially sighted, and I never have been able to figure out a guide for that rascal that I can use it with any accuracy. It goes so fast. I mean, you can control the speed... If you use it enough, but like I tried to cut out some rectangular slots, and let's say there's some ad-libbing going on in my rectangles, you know.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, how do you have any set guides or jigs or a table that comes with this?
No, there's no table that comes with it. If I ever get it, I just use a square.
Uh-huh.
Again, it's kind of more. I guess it's more like a small router.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has a flat base on it that guides pretty easy. It sits pretty flat, and you can run it right along something for a guide.
A 2x4 or 1x2 or
yes.
Okay.
In other words, if you had a guide, you could run it. If you had a square, you could or a piece of angle iron, you could could bolt it to the 2x4 and then just run this thing along the edge of the angle iron and cut with it.
Yes.
That sounds like a deal now.
It really does. I got to have one now.
We got somebody going here. So.
Well, you do. I'm a tool fool. I buy, you know, man, I like having, it just hurts me when some project comes up and somebody says, Phil, if I don't have one, brother, I'll have one the next day. I just can't stand not having, you know, you want whatever you want. Because, well, you know, I can't run, and you can't either, I can't run the hardware store and buy what I want. I got to have it here. It's got to.
And really what you're saying on this tool, too, is that its bit, whether it's cutting whatever, is going in it's revolving. I mean, it's going in rather than up and down like a jigsaw.
Correct. Right? It's not a reciprocating saw. It's the bit looks like a drill bit.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And so, like, where the bit comes out, is there a guide on your tool? Like, if you were running it along... like a 2x4 or 1x2 for a guide, would its guide, in other words, you would have to take a measurement. The bit wouldn't be right there by that 2x4. Is the bit?
No, and again, I guess it would be more like a small router.
Yeah.
Right out of the middle of the bottom of it.
I got your point.
Right. And so you'd have a guide. So there would be something up against your 2x4 other than the bit. You would have to measure.
It would be the base of the
Would be the base of the tool.
Yeah. So you would have to make a...
allowance for that width.
In other words, you'd have to set the bit on your line and then put your guide
according.
There you go. I got you.
You know, that the Dremel tool, the only thing I ever used it for, and I can't remember what, I think it has a little thing on the end of it that I cut some PVC pipe with one time, and it was just really fast. I mean, it cut it.
Oh, yeah.
It cut it real quick.
Once upon a time, and I don't think you can buy them anymore, they made a little tiny circular saw blade.
That went on the Dremel tool?
Yes, it did. Let me tell you what, that sucker cut you.
I bet it, because it was just open, wasn't it?
I mean, it'd cut you before you knew it was even on.
Because it was just an open blade.
Yes, it was.
I bet they don't sell that anymore. Boy, the safety regulations on that would be... But it seemed like this was just... this thing was on the end of the Dremel tube, but it wasn't metal. It seemed like it was more of a fiberglass-looking deal.
Yes.
But I wanted to cut some PVC pipe that was already in the ground that you couldn't get a pipe cutter around, and it zipped around it just... You wouldn't believe.
Yeah, I did the same thing with my Dremel tool. I needed to cut some part of a stud off up inside a wall, and you couldn't get anything up in there.
Yeah.
And by golly, little sucker just kind of chewed away at it.
Yes, little Dremel tool, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two most dangerous tools I have in my arsenal to me are my Dremel tool, and I have a reciprocating saw that would cut your leg off before you knew what was going on if you're not careful.
And that old sawzall.
Yeah, well, that's my reciprocating.
Is a dangerous
looking. I've got one of those.
I do, too. And
well, it kicks like a mule if you don't have it in the right spot.
Yep.
But if you want to get up in something and cut it, it's the thing you got to have.
Yes, it is. It has its place.
It does. See, you got to have the right tools. And you have a lot of screwdrivers and pliers and stuff and all that left. I mean, you didn't really get rid of everything, did you?
The only thing I sent away was my table saw.
It was your table saw. Didn't
I still have mounted router, and I still have just a pretty good chop saw.
Yeah.
So I thought you said you sent away your table saw and your son-in-law, but you sent the table saw with the son-in-law.
Right? Son-in-law came down from Colorado, and I sent him back with the table saw, and he was as happy as
happy camper. Huh?
I love my little old table saw, but my son, and there wasn't any other way to do this. I don't blame him for doing it. He almost I guess he didn't have to do it this way. He could have done it with a little saber saw. He cut the ridge shingles. For the roof, we just replaced the roof. You know where I'm going, don't you? And it, my damn table saw, it takes it about a week to cut through anything. Now I'm going to have to buy a new blade. He cut the ridge shingles on my table saw the other day. My son.
Yeah, I bet it's in there.
Telling me, Daddy, this is really going to dull your blade, but I'm going to do it anyway. And just went in there and cut him.
Boy, a good machete would have done a lot.
Good machete would have done it. He could have cut him with a saber saw or the reciprocating saw, because I could have bought a blade cheaper for that. Just, what's a blade for my table saw going to be, $20?
Last one I bought for mine was about 40.
Yeah, 50. If you buy a good one, the one I sold with mine was 59.
Yeah,
that's about right.
The table saw wasn't but $130. I may just buy a new table saw.
A new table, there you go. Good reason to get a new saw.
I must not have had one like I had then. Mine was about $600.
Now, mine is a little old cheap that I bought at Lowe's, but it does. I don't do much. It does everything I want. If I'm going to split it two before, it'll do that. And I'm not doing big stuff. I don't have room in my shop for a piece of plywood. If I want to cut a piece of plywood, I have to take it outside and do it with a skill saw. It's the only way. I tried bringing a piece of plywood in. There's just not room, you know?
Yeah.
A piece of plywood's a big old unwieldy. Yeah.
It is hard to handle, I'll tell you why.
It is.
Yeah, for one person, it's...
Some time ago, Sears used to sell, I don't know, remember what they called it. I think it was a saw guide.
Yeah.
It was a piece of aluminum. There are two pieces to it, about 4.5 feet long each, and a section that joined them. You put them together, and they were about 9 feet long. And it had a guide, or two guides on it, that you could clamp onto the wood. That was the handiest piece of tools I've got.
Yeah.
Because you can run a circular saw right up beside it and go down a 4x8.
And cut it long ways, if you want.
Any old way you want to cut it, just really slick.
Well, you have a... Pat has found some skill saw guide.
I have, I have one from Sears at $19.95, and it'll cut up to 2 feet. It sticks out. You mount it on the front of your skill saw with the wing nuts, and little pointed little screws that go down. I mean,
and you run it along the edge of the board, yeah, as opposed to following. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
In other words, if I want a piece of lumber 17 inches wide off of a 4x8 sheet of plywood,
and you want it 8 feet long,
I can just put my guide there, and I mean, it's accurate.
Walk and it slides along the side of the piece of plywood, which would work just fine.
And then along with what you're talking about, I didn't see these from Sears anymore, but there's a company, and I did this 3 or 4 shows ago, that make a guide. It's like $70-something. And it's actually a little trolley, and it'll do a 4x8 any dimension you want, and your skill saw kind of runs on a little trolley and just whacks.
That'd be pretty smooth.
Yeah, and it wasn't expensive like I thought it. You know,
this thing that Sears sold, I think it was about $15 to $20 when I bought it years ago.
Well, I've got the longest thing. I've got a 5 foot piece of angle iron that is a big old heavy deal that I can use, but to cut the 8 foot length, I depend on my sighted brethren to do that. They can just follow the line. What the hell, right? Why should I? I don't have to be able to do everything, do I? You know, I don't mind sighted help. Doesn't bother me a bit. I don't mind them helping me. I love them. I've got a sighted son and a sighted wife, and I let them do everything they can. We change the we change the sand in my swimming pool Sunday. Have you had any experience with that, with doing pools, messing with the swimming pool?
Not sand. The pool I had, we had diatomous earth as a filter.
Well, this has got
same principle, I think.
This has got old sand filter, and we changed it. Believe me, I let them do all they wanted to do Sunday. I was happy to get me a beer and sit in my rocking chair.
Yeah, that sand changing is a project now.
It can be quite a project. We'll get into that. More after our break. So you're in a mobile home now, but you got a deck on it, and you're how long is it going to be before you cover the deck, you reckon?
Oh, probably before next winter.
That's what I'd figure. You can't stop. Once you start that kind of stuff, you cannot. You
got to have a project going.
Yeah, you got to have something.
You're right.
Yeah, what a deal.
Got to have something, some sort of project going.
Years ago, during my divorce, I had a sister that lived in North Carolina, and she had a mobile home, and somebody had built her a fairly nice deck, just the deck, the bottom part. Mm-hmm. And so I went out there and stayed with her about 6 or 8 weeks, and I put a top on it. Yeah. And I was proud after I came home. I was proud when the phone rang, and she told me that it had like 9 or 10 inches of snow, and the deck top still stood.
So, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, Tom has a brother that came down and did that for him. He's got a mobile home.
I do indeed.
Mobile home in Burke with a nice little covered porch on the
back.
All
I need is a Toyota.
All he needed is a Toyota.
If I had the Toyota, it would be complete.
Well, Si, we're glad to have you on the list, and we'll be one of these days up to see you. When you least expect it.
You need to do that.
When you least expect it, sir, we'll drop in and say hi to the old Blind Andy Man bunch.
Well, yeah, and come on in, and we can cook you up a pot of beans or whatever.
Sounds good to me.
Your big 50,000-watt station in Tulsa that used to play old country music has started doing talk now, KVOO.
You know, it's kind of interesting. There is a new country station here. That used to be a little bitty dinky station in the town called Henrietta.
Uh-huh.
And it's 99.5, and they're pretty good.
And they've raised their power, and they're serving Tulsa now.
Yes, they are.
That's what the little stations all do, move in. Don't want to fool with it. They want to compete with the big stations, when they'd probably be better off if they stayed home and did funeral announcements. They'd probably make more money, but you can't tell them.
You know what?
That.
Bet you're about right.
All right, Si, we appreciate you, and we'll see you on the list, sir.
Okay, take care now.
Thank you much. More of the Blind Handyman Show. We'll talk about my pressure washer in just a minute. I know you're dying to hear that. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that blind like me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the blind like me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Rather have nothing at all. Nothing at all. If it's love, there ain't no in between. Why begin and cry for something that might have been? No, I'd rather have nothing at all.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we are back. Yeah, talking with Cy, the ancient Oki.
How
ancient was he? I didn't...
He told me, I think, 62 or
that's,
3.
That's so. Not ancient. Cy.
Oh, man, that's young.
That's young.
It is?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But let me check it again.
Well,
yes, that's old. I mean, that's young. That's old.
Compared to us, I guess.
I'm so confused.
How old are you? You're 60, and Pat, you're 60, 62.
Yes. I'm 62. That's 64. Why I said that's not ancient.
I guess it's really not.
Right in the middle there.
Although I could not start the...
Yeah,
we couldn't start the pressure washer.
We're doing
something wrong. There's something we don't know.
Something
we're doing wrong because it started third pull Sunday. I swear, I pulled it twice. George walked around there and pulled it, and kaboom! It started, just fired right up. Anyway, I bought a pressure washer. It's $139 at Lowe's, and I guess they're still on sale.
Counting on that.
But I don't know that it was on sale. It was out front. There's when you walk in. Was it Lowe's or Home Depot? It's Home Depot, Linda.
Uh-huh.
It was Home Depot. I think. We'll ask him when he gets here. Anyway.
I thought Shaw said all week long at Lowe's.
I think Lowe's did have it this week, as a matter of fact. But, hell, maybe they both had them.
Maybe they both had
this
them.
This week.
Anyway.
I'll find out where you got yours, and then I'll go to the other.
Well, you could.
You might buy it cheap on eBay right now.
No, giving the starting history of this one.
Well, you better. But I bought the extended warranty. They'll fix it.
Don, I may could buy this one on eBay.
That's it. You might could.
Well, you might. I might. In fact, I'll take $100 for it right now.
Rub it out the driveway.
But I still couldn't start it.
That'd be the problem.
There's something we don't know. I mean, there's something we did wrong. But anyway, it'll start. And we started it Sunday, and I'll guarantee you, it will shoot a stream of water.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I bet.
50 feet. Just it's the hello.
That's Thomas leaving. Oh, the board engineer.
Our board engineer is gone. What do we do if we go off?
I don't know. It
is powerful enough that it, you can feel it when you let off the trigger. You can feel the jerk of the one. It's
like the car wash.
Yeah, like a car wash,
probably, huh?
Like the car wash. It's pretty immense. What we're going to do with it is wash the house, and then we're going to take my paint sprayer that goes with my air compressor and put some stain on the house, which you're supposed to do every couple of years. And this would be not difficult for a blind guy to do, because a blind guy you don't need to see to apply stain. I mean, if you get it in the same place twice, nobody cares. You can't tell that.
Or to wash a house, because you get some feedback, I'm sure, when you squirted the house with all that high pressure.
Oh, you would. You'd be able to hear where you were when you squirted the house.
Take off wood chips.
Explain, obviously, if you're talking stain, then everybody assumes you have wood siding. Phil has two structures with beautiful cedar siding vertically hung, I guess, vertically.
It's called box and bat cedar, in that there'll be... Actually, one of these buildings is reverse box and bat because it's cheaper.
Right.
And that's what box and bat, there'll be a 4-inch wide board, and then a board that sticks out about a half inch wide.
Yeah.
And then a 6-inch board, and then this half inch raised board. You'll know, if you've ever seen it, you'll know what it is. But let's see, one of them has the raised board and then a sunken place board that's behind those two raised boards. Like the house is box and bat, the building is reverse box and bat.
I've never looked at it. But anyway, on your pressure washer, not just good for wood, he's going to clean the wood good and then paint our stain. The pressure washer does great on concrete.
Oh, yeah, your deck.
And
anything you want to clean, car wash, wash your car with it if you have a car.
And tell them what was the big bugaboo y'all were going to do, and
we saw the little sign. When we first got it, George said, oh, we need to go to the dollar store and buy several gallons of bleach, because it has a little thing on the side of the, let me think where it is. It's on the side where the wand goes. There's a wand that you have. This pressure washer is a motor. You feed water to it. In other words, you tie a hose from your faucet on the outside to your pressure washer, right?
Okay.
And then you turn the water on first, then you start the pressure washer, if you can.
Yeah.
And it quadruples the pressure. It's a pump of the water hose is all it does. And then you have a wand that's also on a hose. The hose is about 10 feet on the wand. The wand's about 4 feet long. And on the end of the wand, you can put different things. You can put a tip of some kind. On the end of the... Why is that doing it?
Yeah.
You're a dingin' blaze.
Now it's unplugged. Anyway, Houston?
That was just me.
You okay?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, this thing just shoots water. But also, on the wand hose, right on the side where it attaches to the pressure washer, there's another little hose that you put on there, and then it has a little hose that's about 4 feet long that you drop down in a bucket of, say, bleachy water with bleach in it. Well, immediately it said, do not use bleach in the pressure washer. You only use stuff that is recommended for pressure washers. So there went that idea. So we'll have to buy some kind of bleach that's recommended for pressure washer. I'm sure it'll be more. You can buy it for $1 a gallon at the dollar store, but...
Oh, yeah, it'll probably be more.
Oh, you know damn well it'll be more.
Well,
but
they want you to buy the Excel product. This is like an Excel...
Or just chuck the hell out of the swimming pool and then put the hose off.
This adds, for every 5 gallons of water you spray 1 gallon of whatever your bleach solution or your cleaning solution is.
Uh-huh.
It only sprays cleaning solution on low pressure setting, and then when you put it on high pressure, it's for rinsing. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, makes sense.
But those are things I wouldn't have known. It sprays the chemical on low pressure, so you spray your patio, and then you turn it on high pressure and rinse, and no chemical comes out. Then you move down and and do whatever else you're going to do with you. Anyway, it's a pretty neat deal. I'd never seen one before, didn't know how they worked, and now I owns one, and I likes it.
And I guess
The warden could have used one the other day.
So. On her four-wheeler she
bought? On her new four-wheeler.
Oh, yeah. Man, for something like that, it'd be great.
See, this is one of our prizes for doing the roof. This is one of the things that we got.
That's right. You get to buy tools.
We get to buy tools if we do projects. Also, I have a new staple gun that shoots staples. What was that staple? About 2 inches long, Patterson, that I showed you?
I'm not sure it was 2 inches. It's good size. Inch and three quarters.
Inch and three quarter, big long staple.
And anything lower, up down to probably three quarters or
three quarters, half inch staple. So it'll shoot like a little staple gun. $99
shingles or siding or both or
they nail the shingles. They put the decking on with staples.
Yeah, I like hand nailed shingles.
This guy didn't like them. He said they weren't wide enough because the staple gun Robert had, the staples were the
wider.
Wider
for shingles.
Yeah, well, no, we're wider apart. The staples he had.
Okay,
but man. You look at that; those staples. You could put anything. You could, you know.
I think they would do, but they use some long staples doing my shingles.
Didn't they?
Yeah. So.
Oh, no, he hand nailed the shingles. We bought another thing. I got a roofing hatchet. I'm sure seen one.
Not sure.
A roofing hatchet. It has a little measuring device on one end.
A
little cutting thing, and then it has a regular hammer on the other thing. It's called a roofing hatchet. So I have one of those now that I didn't have. New tools. That's what we need.
New tools.
Speaking of tools, you don't have a tool this week, do you?
No, I don't have my tool this week, but I'm right in the process of deciding on the siding for the garage. Tell us about that.
Down at
the Big Ten Barn, that seems to be our favorite watering hole. We have David Fowler, their chief salesman in charge, and he's pricing. I'm wanting to go vertical siding simply because I'm working by myself, bat and box. It's one by 12 or three quarters by 12 pine, rough pine. And there's another name they use, and I can't think of what it's called. They make this in a 4x8 sheet that's 3/8 inches wide, but I can't handle by myself a 4x8 sheet. So they're giving me a price on 1x12, and then what you do is you cut your own 2-inch wide strips. You just buy more 1x12 instead of buying 1x2, and you cut it in the same lumber. It has a real rough finish on the side. Takes paint real good. You don't need to caulk it. You don't have to caulk the joints.
So in other words, over the cracks, you'd put a small piece of one by two. It'd be the same thing. You just tack it over the.
Yeah, right.
So you kind of make your own box and bat.
Right. That would work. That would work.
And so you'd have to have a table saw to do that, won't you?
No. Well, no, I use my guide. Sears guide. I can set
saw
it
guide.
As close as 2 inches and clamp the big piece off. You know, clamp, nail it. I have a sawhorses with 2 2x4s that make my sawhorses 8 feet apart, and I can nail anything to those 2 2x4s and hold it stationary and then cut whatever I want off.
What made you decide to do this? I mean, they don't make any kind of...
Make the vertical side. I mean, our friend Maddox has some 9-inch lap and gap siding that you can do either horizontally or vertical, but everybody tells me that you might need to caulk it if you run it vertical because they don't know if the lap and gap is big enough to where you'd get moisture in there, you know.
All right.
And so I'm looking into either thing. Maddox has given me the best price, but...
So you want to run it vertical?
I would like to run it, vertical because...
Vertical is this way, right?
No, that's horizontal.
And horizontal?
Vertical's
vertical
up and down.
Is that way.
That'd be up and down. Yeah.
Come on, Phil.
Because I can work by myself. I can hold the board in place and nail it. One nail in it, level it. But, you know, I hate to get the warden out there after she's worked such a hard day and said, come and hold this 4x8 sheet of plywood up for me.
Well, you can't do that. But Shaw and if you'd buy the beer, we'd come over and help you one day.
Well, I could do that, and that's part of my decision.
We offered to come and hold. Man, I can hold a board like you wouldn't believe. I'm a board holding fool. You
just can't start the pressure work.
I can't start the pressure. I tell you what, I worked all day Sunday. Hard worked all day Sunday. Shoveling sand out of the
sand.
I did. Worked all day Sunday.
I think you did.
I took 2 little old glycerin pills at the end of the day. I was real proud. My heart stayed with me pretty well. I was able to.
That's a deal, man. Project.
That's the first work I've done since I had that heart attack. I mean, real physical work, and I did fine.
Well,
I,
that's great.
Shoveling that sand out of that thing is a project. I mean, it takes a major...
But then you got George, and y'all figured out how to take the whole thing off.
We just took the whole filter off, dumped it out, and washed it out.
I sure need to check that one next time, if there is a next time when I change sand on
your filter's even harder than mine.
Oh, yeah, it's harder.
You can't get down in it.
And if I took the radios off, I'd have to take them off individually.
We took ours off individually. That's the way we did ours. We took them off individually and boiled them.
But I
got the calcium
out of them. That. And see, because it could be clogged
up. Real quick, how high was the water?
It did fine the other night.
Yesterday.
I worried about you.
Yeah.
The other morning. Yesterday morning.
But it did okay.
Yeah, because it was hard rain.
Oh, yeah. It was intense.
For about 20 minutes, it was hard rain. I laid in my chair and thought, well, if it comes, it comes. Nary a leak in the new roof at the blind man's house.
Yeah. That's great. That's a deal.
Nary a drop. I went in. I woke up at 4:30 in this rain. I thought, I could get up now, but I want to sleep another hour. And if it's leaking, to hell with it. I got up at 6 and quarter 6 and went and felt my chair and Luann's chair, and nary a drop of water was there.
Good time.
I was very happy. Happy boy. It didn't rain on my stereo.
Yeah.
Man, I figured if it did, the thing to do would just be call a cab.
No, in that situation, I'd have got in there and I'd have told Luann, Frankie is not house broke, no matter what you think.
That's right.
Yeah, the thing to do would just been called a cab and gone to your house and stayed in your guest room a couple days till she kind of calmed down. There's a nice bath back there. Beer fridge is not too far. Anyway, thank you, guys. Don Shaw, thank you, sir.
Yeah, another one down.
You want me to put your mic thing back like it was? Are you happy with that?
This is good. This is okay.
All right. We'll turn you up a little bit. Don Pat?
Well, I want whatever Don Shaw's got on his mic.
No, you're the one that wanted that big fat mic, and you got it, my God. You're happy with it. Tom Houston's always
here. I've already got one of those, and let me tell you, it makes me look professional back here.
It does, doesn't it?
I just want to lower my voice when I look at it.
Didn't Cy had a good voice?
He certainly did.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week, and it'll be show number 116. This was 115. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Blind Handyman. I'm Phil Parr. I see said the blind man as he pick up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.